Well, good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. Oh, I'm glad you guys are here. I'm excited for what we're going to learn tonight. You excited? Awesome, awesome. So today, what was it? 22 degrees? Oh, it was 40. What? That's a scorcher, isn't it? Woo, I got to get my sunblock. What's that? That's right. You know, the coldest temperature I've ever experienced in California is like 55 degrees. I know. Anyhow, it was a scorcher today. We're glad you guys are all here tonight. We've got a great night for you lined up. Before we start, just a quick review. We've been walking through what it means to be contagious, the whole person. Last week we talked about the word, right? And that was the mind aspect. Tonight we're going to talk about worship. It's our heart. And then next week we're going to talk about the will, what we're actually living and doing. And before we get started, on the first page of the handout, we have an addendum. I can't pronounce anything. How do you say it? Addendum. Thank you very much. My wife is not here to correct me, so I need you. Okay? An addendum. There's a drawing. If you draw like me, you needed some help. So we wanted to help you with that. And we gave you what transformation, how when you become a Christian, you have the flesh screaming at you. And at the same time, you have the Holy Spirit screaming at you, or gently moving you. I shouldn't say screaming, right? And then going after the mind. And also, as we walked through the word last week, we had some practical elements, practical helps. And we thought we'd lay those out for you. Some of you guys asked, hey, what were those three things? I didn't write them all down. So we wrote them down for you. We get the three wrong goals to read the word. We remember that. And guys, remember, what's that right goal? What's the right reason to read the word? What was that right reason? We're going after a clear view of God. Remember that? It's an experience with God. It is... we were trying to encounter God. So let that be our right reason. We looked at the right steps to the right method. And several people came and asked me, said, Steve, how do I start reading the word? I mean, what's the right method? What's a plan? So we listed some four helpful plans. Option one is you read the Bible in a year or two, right? Say, I'm going to start in Genesis and I'm going to make my way to Revelation. There's option one. Option two is, this is my favorite option. This is what I like to do, is I get one bookmark, or two, or three, or however. But you start off with one, I put it in a book, and I just keep moving, right? Chapter by chapter as I'm going. And if I forget something, if I forget a day, if I forget 2 days, I just go right back where I left off in the bookmark. I call that the bookmark method. Or if you're, here's a third option, a topical need. You're struggling with pride. I struggle with pride, so maybe I should do a topical study on pride. I'm going to say, where are the verses that are addressing pride? And go after that pride, right? I'm going to look at Philippians 2. I'm going to look at James. I'm going to look at verses on pride and get deep and mind what the word has to say about pride. Or just, here's a great idea. Say, take the bulletin, grab a bulletin. We have a reading plan on the bulletin. Just walk through that, right? And then a third thing we put in your a handout there is three things to do in the time with your time in the word when your time in the word is blah. Right, so we thought we'd help you out with that as well. With no further ado, though, let's pray. Let's ask God to bless this hour and see what God has for us. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come before you and learn how to worship God, to understand what it means to worship you, God. I pray tonight you would be with Pastor Tim. I pray tonight, Lord, you would just speak through him. I pray tonight, God, our world would be rocked as we understand what it means to worship you. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen.
All right. Good to have you guys here tonight. And hey, we've been talking about transformation. And how do I go about addressing some of the sin in my life, some of the things that are going on that I need to see change in, and how do I go about seeing that actually have adjustment? Or maybe another way to say it, why am I stuck on this thing? ... whatever it may be. And so we've talked about in the triangle, right? You've got the three pieces. Last week we looked at the word. Everything anchors in God's truth. If we start with his word, we're starting in a good spot. And, you know, you can hear those things and you can move past them quickly. And it actually turns out as simple as it is, or as much as you've heard it for 30 years or whatever number of years, it is a part of our core truth for change. God's word and what he has to teach us. Make sure as you dive into his word, your goal is to encounter God. Clearer view of God. We're going to talk more about that tonight and how that plays in with what we're looking at this evening. But tonight we're looking at worship overall, all right? And then next week we'll be looking at the will. So I'm going to be bringing the worship piece here. Let me just say, this past week, my wife and I were talking a little bit, all the snow, like a foot of snow over one weekend. Is that crazy? And she typed in something on Facebook like, I wish that I hated my sin as much as I hate this snow. And got a bunch of comments back. And one of them from an unbelieving friend from years back in College Domain that said basically, holy cow, what have you been doing? Right? Do you hear how the world views it? When you're like, I should hate this sin. They're like, dude, did you like murder someone? Are you like having an affair? Are you like, did you rob a bank? What was so massive that you should hate it? Because the little stuff, well, that's who cares about that? And I'm telling you, that view is a, like, we're doomed from the beginning in understanding God's glory and His holiness if we don't start grasping that even the little things, massive offense to our God. And so, Lord, help me understand that. As we go into this worship tonight, that's going to be a big piece of it. I just want to dive right in here. Let's just get going and start filling in some blanks, harvest style, all right? So we're going to have a lot of blanks to fill in. I wanted to make sure that you actually got this information and you weren't just kind of letting it pour over you. You go back home and you're like, I have no idea what he said. All right, so fill in the blanks tonight. Here we go. Number one, transformation involves cooperation. Transformation involves cooperation. It is a part of our work and a part of God's work and what His Holy Spirit does over us and in us. It is His glory. And so I just want you to notice, look at that triangle. I changed the verses underneath the worship walk and or worship word and will tonight. And there's a reason for that. Look at Philippians 2:13 at the top, worship. It is God who works in you, right? It says it is God who works in you to will and to work for His good pleasure. It's God's work in us. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight under the will. But it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then over under the word, it says in verse 16, hold fast to the word of life. And that's all right there in Philippians chapter 2. In just a matter of four or five verses, this triangle is kind of brought out to completeness. You'll notice printed there, I tried to print in all the verses we were using tonight. So printed right in your stuff there, Philippians 2, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, our job. Isn't it amazing how many churches do a great job of teaching that? Get after that, man. Dig in deep, right? But what they miss is it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to work. And if we don't understand that it's God's transformational work, we're missing the whole beast. And to walk around saying, exercise yourself unto godliness, and yet not talk about how God does that with us, in us, through His glory, we're missing the whole thing, all right? So I just threw these in, just so you understand, did a bunch of studying and research on transformation, sanctification, and I just wanted to throw this out for those who love the head of your piece. Here you go for a second. We're not going to spend any real time here, but wrong approaches. What if I do the worship only gig? Well, that's what quietism is called. Okay, that's a deep word. It means go away, be quiet, calm your spirit before God. Quietism. Transformation requires worship only. Like if I'm going to be transformed as I bask in His glory, as I hear from Him, as I behold His glory, well then you know what? Maybe what I should do is it should be just like only that. I'll go away on a mountaintop. I'll just hear from Him. It's going to be Him and me forever and quietism. And the mistake of it is that it's all His work, right? It's all His work. And so we're saying, I'm putting it all on you, God. The next point to it, we call on God to do His work. Oh, and ours. Like, you do it all, mine and yours. I'm just going to sit here. And I'm just going to sit here so much that, in fact, I'm useless to the church and I'm useless to those around me and I'm not actually executing on what you're calling me to, but man, are you changing me. And just so you know, that doesn't work. Okay? It's a big mistake. It's one-sided. That's called quietism. The other extreme, pietism. That's transformation requires the will only. Come on, man. You heard what to do. Get out there and do it. And that doesn't get it done either. Okay? Requires the will only. That's where we're saying, no, it's all our work. I have to do it. It's all up to me. And number two there, we call on ourselves to do our work and God's. And all of a sudden now the transformation is somehow magically happening as I muscle it. That would be the muscling it called that we've been talking about. It's pietism, right? And so you may not know many people that are in the quietism movement. Just so you know, there's a lot going on around this area in that, okay? And so I'm not going to go into names and who's, but I just want you to know, you start hearing words like contemplative, right? You start hearing words like that, you better be careful and watch out. They're beginning to teach you something that says, just let God do it. Forget about the word. Forget about your work. Just get before him. He'll talk to you. And now, there's a mistake in that. God communicates through his word and God calls us to action. All right? We are not called to just be quietists, just sitting around contemplating quietly before our God and he's going to change me. That's missing pieces of it. All right? I just wanted to make sure I got that out there. The right approach, balance. There will be a transformation that requires worship and the will. So tonight we're talking about worship. Next week we're going to be talking about the will. All right? That's a big deal. All right, so here we go. If we're going to talk about worship, we better know what it means. And so I just put a few quick definitions down. Worship is the main purpose. Worship is the main purpose. This is what it's all about. If we don't get this, we don't understand why we exist. You exist to worship him. Did you know that? And we've said it a bunch of times from the front. We say it in a ton of different ways. It's not about my comfort. It's about my king, right? These are all worship statements. It better be all about him. And if we don't get that, man, we're missing the whole power of worship in our lives. Worship, it is the main purpose. So worship defined. John 4:24. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. This is Jesus talking to the woman at the well, and he's calling out, look, it's not about geography. In spirit and in truth, here's what it's about. It's in spirit, all of me, and in truth, in alignment with all of him. Spirit, all of me, and in truth, in alignment with all of him. That's worship. Let me tell you, you don't have the truth if you don't have the word. Are you hearing me? Like, if we don't get into the word, last week's whole talk, then you can't worship in spirit and in truth. You begin to do this private contemplative, Lord, just tell me who you are. You are so susceptible to being twisted and turned about. If you want to have the truth, you've got to have God's word preeminent in your life as a starting point. Worship and the word go together. All right. So in spirit and in truth, notice what the next verse I put there, Colossians 1:16. For by him, Jesus Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Get ready. All things were created through him and for him. Jesus Christ is in charge, and you were created for his glory, to worship him. That's what it's all about. We're trying to get that restored back. As we talk about a transformation, it's the brokenness of worship being brought back to healthy worship, our God getting his just reward. All right? The simple point we put there is desire to place him as first. To place as first. That's what worship means. Whatever you worship, you're placing that as first. Right? And we're told we're supposed to be putting Jesus Christ to that position. Okay. These are just some basic academic statements before we get going on some, so what do I do with this? How do I make this practical? Everybody bear with me. I'm telling you right now, some of you just went, I'm checking out. These are just facts. And I'm telling you, we're going to get to some very practical involvement with worship. But we got a baseline, all right? So bear with me here. Okay, letter B, wrong worship. So if we're so fractured, then what does worship look like for us in wrong worship? Exodus chapter 20 challenges us with the Ten Commandments. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. Everybody say, that's an idol. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. I'm sorry, how stupid are we to make it ourselves and think it's so awesome we should worship it? Is that not goofball? And yet, how much do we now, we don't do it now, it's not a carved image. No, now it's kind of the what shows me off. We're getting more sophisticated now in our idols, right? Now we make it about the things that make me feel good, the things that make me look important. It's become a different kind of expression, and it's still idolatry. So I wrote down there as the first point, idolatry. It's placing anything or anyone before God himself. anything or anyone before God himself. How do I even know if I'm doing that, Tim? So the question we wrote there, just ask yourself, what am I willing to sin to get? What am I willing to sin to get? You're looking at an idol. Or if you want to put it this way, what am I willing to sin to get or keep? If you want to write that down next to it. Man, anytime you're seeing sin go off around a topic, you know you're holding on to an idol in that area. Okay? Like, I lose my stack all the time. When? Oh, well, when people are stepping on my toes and, oh, well then maybe you're wrestling with a bit of pride in that area of your importance. And be careful with that, right? So worship and broken worship. Idolatry is, it's a very real problem. Just so you know, every one of us is in idolatry. That's what broken worship is. So our job, find it and have God be fixing that and have us cooperate with him. All right? Letter C, worship expressed. We are always worshiping something or someone. Always worshiping something or someone. We just put three words down here. So number one, God himself. That'd be great if that's it. And there's moments where we so have it together and we're just giving him everything he deserves. And on a Sunday morning, there's that moment and maybe it's coming right during the closed song. And there's so many people knowing what they're supposed to be about and they're properly giving it over to him. And in that moment, there is such a worship taking place. And you can sense it as the Spirit is moving in the place and the glory of our Lord is being shown off. And man, that's great when God himself is being worshiped. And you can tell when you're in that. But there's other times where it's like clearly, no thank you, it'll be about me right now. And it shows off very quickly, very obviously. Worshiping others. We put that in there. My wife and I talked back and forth about it. I just want you to know I've rarely, maybe never met somebody that actually worships another. It's pretty rare. Usually, in fact, if we start putting someone else first, in fact, what we're really doing is wanting them to put us first. And we're back to me pretty quickly. Okay? So the people that are usually worshiping others, there's usually something really wrong there. I just want you to know that there's something inside of them that's like looking at another person and thinking they're so awesome. It must mean they think they're so horrible. And rarely do we run into that. It's typically, it's either me or it's God. And that's our daily wrestle, right? It's flesh or it's spirit. That's usually what's going on. All right. Okay. So the last statement, transformation is about perfecting our worship. That very well might be a paradigm shift for you like never before. Let that settle. Transformation is about perfecting your worship. See, all too often we think about transformation is about making me not sin anymore. Right? Transformation is about me getting after this thing where I... that's not what it is. That's the outcropping, that's the fruit of it, if you will. But in your heart of hearts, its transformation is, where's your worship? And getting that aligned with him in every facet of your life, all right? Transformation is all about the worship. That's some facts, all right? Do we have it understood? We kind of get the gist, worship, and it's what I'm supposed to be about, and I'm created to do it, and I broke it, and I ran off and made it all about me. And that's why you're going to find the worship comes back into play so quickly here as part of the fix, okay? We're actually designed to worship him. We're made whole in the midst of worshiping him. So here we go. Point number three. Big deal now. Everybody say, this is going to be a big deal. I better deliver. Holy Spirit truths. Holy Spirit truths. I grew up in a Bible church. What that means is you talk about the Holy Spirit truths once every year or two so you can pass a quiz on it, and then you don't talk about those again. Holy Spirit, you try to set that aside. It's some things that go on, but we don't want to be charismatic or anything. So don't go there. And I'm just telling you, it could be the most grave mistake made in our transformation process. So tonight we're going to dig deep into the role of the Holy Spirit, who he is in our lives. Not so he's worshiped. Just so you know, the Holy Spirit, John 16, his goal is pointing out Christ. Okay? So it's not get all into Holy Spirit and gifts and all this expression. That's missing it too. Right? That's back to me and how subtly we can twist it on me. But Holy Spirit truths, big deal as we figure out what our God is doing in us, this comforter who's been sent to indwell us. How is he working, okay? So here we go. First, he fills us. The Holy Spirit fills us. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Please note that the opposing words here are drunk and filled. Okay? So he's giving us an analogy now. And he's like, "I'm just telling you, when you're drunk with wine, it's like it's taking over. It tends to have a control over you." All right? And so, but instead, allow the Spirit to have that filling, that control. We're going to talk about it in just a second. So let's just kind of break it down. Filled. Not more of the Spirit, but more Spirit influence. Understand that? That's a big deal. So when the Spirit indwells, I trust in Christ, Holy Spirit takes up residence within me, bam, you have the Holy Spirit with you. Filled does not mean, wow, I met this whole new aspect of the Spirit that I didn't have before, and that's not what it means. Filled with the Spirit means, I'm telling you, he's got more control today than he had yesterday because he's working with my will. Are you saying the Spirit's weak? Like he's not as strong as me and I can overcome. No, it's not that he's weak. It's that he's working with our will. And so there's times where he chooses in his sovereignty as God works with us to allow us to go down the path of sin and self, to allow us to walk down a path where we finally get sick of the me we're tasting of so much. And he hangs on in that moment. Filled, it means the Spirit literally having an influence with you. You're listening to him. Remember the mind, the flesh, and the Spirit picture. Your mind is responding to the Spirit and ignoring the flesh. Filled, okay? So a couple things about filled we need to know. Be filled is a command. It is commanded. It is in the imperative form. You must do this. As Paul's writing it, he says, "Be filled." It is an absolute command. Go about doing this. How many of us wake up on a daily basis going, "Lord, this is a command I need to be about with you"? Right? We set it aside. It's one of these Holy Spirit talks. We're like, I'm going to try to do these other things and we'll see how that goes. Be filled is a command. How can you be about it if you're not thinking about it? Let's be really careful on that. It is commanded. But more than just being in the imperative form here, be filled is passive. It doesn't say fill yourself. Be filled. There's a letting that has to happen. There's an allowing that's going on. There's a working between you and the Spirit where you are relinquishing control and letting him have his way. Passive form. Big deal. Like all of a sudden now, are you starting to see the relationship in it? Right? And so the Spirit is filling and the Spirit, I'm allowing. And when I'm resisting, then he's holding back some. And there's this dance that's going on to teach me to so want to worship him. Okay? So commanded, it's in the passive. And then the last one, be filled is continuous. It's like continue to keep on daily being on ongoingly filled. That's what it really is saying in the original language. Ongoing, continuous form. Do this regularly. It's not in the past tense. Do it once and you're done and over. Yeah, I got filled. November 13th, 2009. I'm good. Like, it's not that at all. It's daily, regularly walking through. Holy Spirit, are you having your way with me? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a command. It is in the passive form. It is continuous. It is absolutely a huge deal. It just is. And now let's be really careful because there's a lot of churches that get out there and they talk about being filled and then they get after an explanation of how and it has nothing to do with what Scripture teaches. Okay, so be cautious as we get into this experience with the Holy Spirit and what that means, but it is life-changing when we get there. Okay, letter B, the Holy Spirit does not just fill us. The Holy Spirit transforms us. He transforms us. 2 Corinthians 3, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is an unbelievable couple of verses. If you're going to get transformation, you've got to know these verses and be living them out in a massively deep way. I'm telling you, pretty much this entire contagious thing and much of what we've been teaching through Romans comes from these couple of verses and how it's rocked my life personally. As I started to get this, let's just check it out. A few things that this passage is saying we require. Number one there, requires being unveiled. Unveiled. Notice what it says right at the beginning of verse 16. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So when are you unveiled? When you turn to the Lord, when you are saved, right? You cannot be unveiled to the Holy Spirit until you are saved, period. There is no life transformation unless you trust Christ as Savior, period. That has to be first, saved. Okay, but it is more than that. We'll see in just a second. It talks about, it says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Spirit. That's the second part. Requires beholding His glory. Beholding His glory. I just want to tell you that those two can kind of be tied together. Unveiled face and beholding His glory. Maybe here's another way to say it. There's times where you're not beholding the glory of the Lord. It's when you're trying to behold the glory of yourself. And now you're all about you and how important you are, right? And you start walking through the moment of that sin expression, and God has become somewhat distant in your thinking and your feeling. And I'm telling you, that's pretty much the same as veiled. You're not getting it. And His glory is being held back in that moment. He is saying, hang on. Maybe here's another way to say it. He is definitely, right, as we behold His glory pouring Himself out on you, as you ignore His glory, He's starving you of it, causing you to want Him all the more. He loves you. It's not a punishment moment. It's not a, oh, fine, ignore me, will you? Well, then have this, none of me. Right? Turn the back, walk away. It's not one of those relationship moments where when you're talking in your home and people are ignoring each other and turning their backs on each other. And that's not what this is. Everybody say, that's not what this is. That's not what this is. This is the Holy Spirit saying, I'm telling you, I love you too much for you to just continue to behold your own glory. I'm not going to continue to work into that. I want you to see the end of that. It's not where you want to be. Beholding His glory. Remember, we talked about the Word, and the main point of the Word is to encounter God and to get a clearer view of Him. Why? Because you need to be beholding His glory. There is no transformation without it, right? It says right here, beholding His glory, you are being transformed. Ongoing present tense. It only happens as you behold His glory. So your time in the Word, as we talk to transformation, and look, there's a lot of reasons to go to the Word for encouragement and all that, but when it comes to transformation, Lord, I'm here in the Word to behold You. I'm here to encounter You. And I'm going to take that forward to my worship, and I'm going to behold Your glory like never before. I want to be rocked by You. I want to know You personally. I want to be stunned by Your greatness. The Holy Spirit and His glory pouring over you is what transforms us from one degree of glory to the next. All right? Requires being unveiled. It requires beholding His glory. And then transformed one degree at a time. Isn't that the most frustrating thing out there? One degree at a time. Wonderful. Like we talked about on Sunday where we take the chain and it's one chain link at a time. It's one little piece at a time. As God is teaching you this lesson, it's so much more valuable to worship me. So much more valuable to be with me. One step at a time, one degree at a time, as you learn to let go of one little facet or aspect of you at a time. Please, don't get impatient with yourself or with God's process. He's looking at you and he's like, I want you to know we have eternity together. And for the next dozens or 20s or 30s or 40s of years or whatever it is, we're going to work together. And then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that work is done. And I close it down and you are glorified in that moment, absolute perfection. And I'm telling you, for the rest of eternity, you will be laughing like crazy and worshiping perfectly and stunned with the plan. And right now we're going to walk through this thing one step at a time as you learn to let go of yourself and grab on to me. Come worship me. There is nothing more fulfilling. Come worship me. Nothing more fulfilling. Here's the catch. Your flesh is saying the same words. Come worship me. There is nothing more fulfilling. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. And you better start learning to recognize those words and catch who's right and who's wrong in it. Come worship your God. Behold his glory. Be stunned with his awesomeness. That's where transformation lies. It's in the midst of his glory. The word introduces us to our King. And then we drop to our knees in amazement and behold him. All right? Transformed one degree at a time. Let's just break that down. How does that work? It requires conviction. It requires the Holy Spirit pressing in on you where you're like, oh, that sin so needs to go. And this is the way that's right. And I need to get off of that. And God, help me be done with me. It requires conviction. Pressing. It requires agreement. And now that I've been convicted of it, I hear you, Lord, and I'm turning with it. I repent. I'm done with it. I'm in agreement with you on that. That sin needs to be done. That's where I want to go with it. It requires not just agreement, but commitment. Hear me on this. When we say, Lord, please forgive me. When we say, hey, hon, please forgive me. If it follows with these words, hey, please forgive me. I'm just telling you, I'm going to do it again. And I'm not even remotely interested in trying not to. But can you forgive me at the moment just so we're getting along a little better? Can you forgive me for that? I'm just telling you, that's not good date night stuff. That's not going to go well. There's a relationship that is damaged and you're not interested in commitment to it. But here's all God's asking on the other side of it, Luke 17:3. It's not in here, but you can just write it down, Luke 17:3. He says, but if there is repentance, right? The forgiveness that you give is every single time. And if they repent and they come back seven times in a day, and think about it, you're only awake for like what, 14, 16 hours, whatever, 18 hours, seven times, like once every hour and a half. Dude, you got a problem going on, right? And you're like, I swear, I'm so done. Please forgive me. And an hour and a half later, same sin, right? Aren't you like after the third one, you're like, I don't believe you so much anymore, right? I'm thinking I want to see you prove it for at least like 2 hours. Can you give that a shot? Right? We kind of get impatient with it. And God's like, I'm telling you, seven times in a day. And our God is 70 times seven with us. That's what we have going on. Absolute, absolute patience with us. That's the last one. He requires patience. Did you know that God's at work over time? And we tend to want it all done in the immediate, don't we? I think a lot of that is actually our American society. Dude, we're upset if it takes 4 minutes to get a Big Mac. You know what I mean? 4 minutes! Don't these people know what they're doing? Right? This is a fast food lane. Come on, 4 minutes? And, oh, how hard, a credit card now, great. Great, there's a little more time. And just so you know, I am a credit card guy. I have no cash, so I'm one of those guys you're upset with. And fast food lanes, whatever it is, we're just taught speed. Get it done. And that's not God's plan. Everybody say, that's not God's plan. It's not God's plan, man. He's walking with you patiently through this as he teaches you ever so patiently the value of every little nuance of him. And that takes time for us to let go of us. It's an awesome walk of worship. Awesome. All right. He requires conviction. He requires agreement. He requires commitment. He requires patience. 1 degree at a time. Okay. That's the Holy Spirit. He fills. He transforms. Okay. Now let's talk about the other side. Holy Spirit, he can be grieved. Do you know that? Holy Spirit can be grieved. And all of us who are from Bible churches are like, oh yeah, I know that verse. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit, he's sealing me, meaning he's promising for eternal life. He's got a promise. You are sealed, like that will be yours. Holy Spirit's sealing me, and yet we're grieving him. Like he's doing this awesome work of guaranteeing, and we're saying, yeah, whatever. Going to be about me. And so grieving, it's when we go after anything that's not about the worship of him. It's all about self. Okay? It's when we go after self. I just wrote these words down. Grieved, it means saddened and distraught. Saddened and distraught. That's the place we put the Holy Spirit in. The God of the universe. Saddened and distraught. Let's be careful now. Because the first thing we hear in that is like, I'm like so important. I can hurt God. He's not distraught because he's losing anything. His love for you, he's distraught over what we're losing. You hearing that? He's distraught for you and what you're missing in him and where that's going awry. And that's the love of our King for us. And the Holy Spirit grieved and he's longing to take you on a path where you get to know the greatness of our God in all of its depths. Grieved. It's any time we've taken self and gone after it. Let me just say this. Number two there. The Holy Spirit is a person and he can be grieved. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Look, the biggest problem with calling the Holy Spirit it, I don't know where that started, but is the person of the Holy Spirit. He has thinking, he has moving, he has leading, he has will, he's got passions, he's got grief that comes in. The Holy Spirit, he is the person of God working with us. And our sin does take him to a depth of grief and despair over what's going on in many regards. Him struggling with our junk. But here's the beauty of it. Yet God is sovereignly in charge. He knows exactly where things are headed. And so we have to be really careful with this grief if we make it this giant emotional thing where he's just kind of a hurting guy out there. We're missing what's going on. And that's what I put for the next point here. John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, Holy Spirit, to you. And when he comes, here's what he'll do. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He will convict. He will convict. So the third step here, or the third point. Holy Spirit does not just sit brooding. He shares his view. He convicts. That's what's going on. So the Holy Spirit, when he is grieved, he leans in. Oh, that's so not where you want to be. Let me explain to you a little more of who I am in that. Why you need to let go of that. Let me help you grasp the, and sometimes maybe even let me give you a taste of that sin even more. Romans chapter 1, right? As he gives us over to sin. And we taste even more of it, all at the end of Romans chapter 1 there. our God working with us. His grief in the midst is not some inactive emotional moment where he sits in the corner sobbing until we somehow get our act together. God is not that, not in control. God is very in control. And so the Holy Spirit begins to lean in the midst of his grief. He's pressing on to say, that's an area that must be let go of. Know this, when he's grieved, he is convicting. Know that. And every moment we're wrestling with personal sin, Spirit's pressing on a bit. Yes, he's grieved, and yes, he's leaning in a bit there. And he's making clear some things taking place in your life. All right? So the Spirit can be grieved. And the last one, the Spirit can be quenched. He can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. When the Spirit is grieved, on the other side of it, the Spirit is quenched. He's going to hold back his power, as we've talked about. So just a couple quick ones. Quench, it means to put out the fire, to hinder. Picture like a flame stirring up and you take water and pour it on and it goes whoosh, to quench. That's what happens as we go after self and self-worship and sin. In the moment we choose that in our action, quench and bring down the Spirit. All right? So quench, to put out the fire, to hinder. We can quench the Spirit with sinful attitudes. We can quench the Spirit with sinful actions. Sinful attitudes, sinful actions. Some of us might have the checklist of overt external things and we're like, have not sworn, read my Bible, was nice to my mom, got to work on time. We're like, I was great, I was perfect today, and my actions were, right? But what was inside the heart was horrifically, nastily about self, right? And sinful actions, sinful attitudes, both of those can quench the Spirit. This is a huge deal. Have you ever been in a moment where you're more about you and you can't figure out why you can't get control of you? And the sin starts to seem to spiral out? Because the Spirit is saying, in this moment, a little less glory of me being revealed, you getting a little more taste of you, and us spinning out on self insatiably until we finally get sick of that, hearing finally the whisper of conviction from the Spirit, and we begin to turn back around. Okay? Huge deal. So think of the balance now. Spirit filled, Spirit grieved and quenched. Those are the only two choices. And yet we don't think about being filled at all, and we're not going after that. And so how often are we actually living where the Spirit is just grieved and quenched in our life? We're living in self and me, and he's whispering convictions, and we're sort of ignoring it, and we're just kind of wondering why we can't seem to get through the wall. And the fix is not to sit and brood on self and sin, as much as the fix is now to go amazingly into beholding his glory, filled with the Spirit. All right? That's where we're going. It's done with being quenched. Done with him being grieved. On with him filling me and having his control in me. It's one or the other with the Spirit. And most of the time, I got to tell you, we're walking around going, I think I'm pretty good with me, which means we're quenching and grieving at some level. We're missing the being filled. It's a privilege of having that time with your God. All right? Okay. So here we go. That's great, Tim. Bunch of foundational information. I have no idea what to do. And now what, how do I go home with that? And so what we're going to do is talk about some steps here, some how-tos. And I want to be careful because it isn't about some magic little rhythmic religious step. But if we're not clear to some steps, then we go home not knowing at all what to do. So we're going to take some of these steps together tonight, talking through it. Some of this you've heard before, if you've been with us here on Sunday mornings, and some of it you haven't. Okay, so here we go. Steps to being filled. How do I go through this Ephesians 5:18 and have it happen? Number one, inhale. This means claiming his promises, praising his character. Claiming his promises, praising his character. You are spending time beholding his glory. Another word to write next to the inhale. Beholding his glory. amazed with who He is. You've got to have time with your God where you're doing that. Deep breath in. Inhale. Go ahead and do it with me. Just breathe in deep. A couple things to notice. As you breathe in deep, you can't keep going. There's a point where it sort of fills and tops. And you get into an exhale. Okay? And that's a very natural part of the spiritual breathing as well. So spiritual breathing, I think I skipped that at the top, but spiritual breathing. Inhale, claiming His promises, praising His character. Exhale. This is confess known offenses against His glory. Cry out for cleanliness. You may want to learn and memorize Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Breathe in deep again. Just do it with me real physically. God is awesome. And now we're breathing out, exhaling. Lord, please forgive me. In light of who You are, here's some things I need to let go of. In light of an offense to Your glory, here's some stuff that I need to release. And I'm telling you, you have things on your mind that you are completely aware of and you know what to let go of. And as you inhale, right? You're getting a clean picture of that as you exhale, start letting that be known. I'm just telling you this, most of what you think is sin is just the tip of the iceberg. Are you hearing me? Most of what you think is sin is just the tip of the iceberg. And so your job now, okay, if you grew up in a Bible church or a traditional church like I did, what you just heard is, I really stink. I better really go in and just beat myself up now. It's all about how horrible I am, and I better confess. And you can't do it until you start taking in breaths. Have you ever noticed that? Try to breathe out with me right now. Just keep breathing out and breathe out forever. Ready? Here we go. And at some point you're like, I need air. And you breathe back in. I'm telling you, your confession will be fresh as your inhaling is repeated. As you're bringing in the greatness of Him, as you're beholding His glory, as you bring that in, more can come out. God has a miracle work to do in your life. Just spend some time with Him. Be amazed with Him. Be in awe of Him. And whatever's coming up, whatever you're made aware of, be confessing and releasing that. Here's the trick. Get ready. I'm just going to tell you right now. The moment you have got things confessed, you're handing it to Him and letting Him be in charge. The moment you're praising and worshiping Him, filled. Are you hearing me? This was revolutionary for me. 3 years ago, I was raised in a, you know, be filled, don't know what it means, not going to spend much time there. I think it takes you like 7 years, because that's a God number, why not seven? Right? I think it takes 7 years of consistency, and every time you blow it, you go back to square one. It's like playing chutes and ladders. You know what I'm talking about? And you hit that doggone huge ladder, or chute all the way down to the bottom, and you got to start over again, right? And it's this game that where you constantly fall backwards, and so you can never get filled. That's junk. That's not even biblical. That is back to that pietism, the I got to do it myself. I'll deliver the perfection. The I'm going to muscle it. That's junk. Everybody say that's junk. Please, that's junk. Filled in a moment in time. And God uses you right then and there. He reveals to you right then and there. He stuns you right then and there. Filled. As you cleanse. And how awesome He is as you release out and confess truly, not just, all right, I'm sorry, God. I'm going to repeat it again. I'm just telling you. But I'm sorry for right now. That is not confessing. Lord, I'm done with that. And as much as it depends on me, I'm going as hard as I can after this. And Lord, You know what needs to be transformed. But I want it out of me and I'm ready for that. God knows where your heart is in that. Just release it over. And Lord, please do Your amazing transforming work. Breathing back in who He is. Spiritual breathing. Inhaling and exhaling. Filled in the moment. And just so you know, there's a couple of statements that come after it, ing words that come in that Ephesians 5. It says singing, so the next word is sing. Did you know that your God sings over you? Zephaniah chapter 3. Your God sing. He's singing over you. I have no idea what he's singing. But imagine what it sounds like for the God of the universe to be singing. Just for a moment. It doesn't sound anything like me. I can tell you that. It's closer to sounding more like my wife than me. Right? But let's get up. The God divine perfection of singing over us and singing. Why is music such an important piece? Because it's important to God in His heart. And as you're filled with the Spirit, you're beginning to mirror who He is. Music will have a huge part. So trust me, being filled and then going and listening to country music can bring you down a little. I'm just going to tell you, there's some wonderful country music out there and I have nothing against it. I'm just telling you, I have not been very uplifted lately as I listen to 104.9. And there's some good music on it. I'm not saying anything against all country music. Please, no emails and all that. I'm just telling you, when you're going for being filled, not 104.9. You're looking for some truth about the Holy Spirit and His grandeur. And you're, some of the worship songs we're singing on Sundays, and go after that music and spend time with your God singing back to Him. And people looking at you in the car across and they think you're weird. Okay. You probably won't ever see them again unless you're at Walmart, and then you definitely see them again. Singing, big part of it. Thanking. A regularity of being able to say, God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing. You know you're filled when you have a thankful heart. When you are saying, can you believe, and this was wrong, and what about, and it, something's not there. How often our complaining is quenching, is grieving. Be careful, okay? So singing, thanking. Here we go, last one. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. So relax, offer your whole self to Him, reflect on His work, reflect on His word. Just putting those all out there right at once. Relax, offer your whole self to Him, reflect on His work, reflect on His word. Be still and know that I am God. Huge deal, all right? This means, notice, be still, which is... So many people will teach, be still, like empty your mind. That is not what this is saying. Notice it says, be still and know that I am God. He is saying, will you please take time to contemplate who I am? Behold my glory. You'll be amazed how it changes you. Take some time to relax in Him, to hear from Him as to who He is, to offer your whole self to Him, to reflect on His work and word. All right, those are the steps to a filling. I can only tell you this, until you start to practice this, you're like, it sounds small. Wait until you behold His glory. Wait until you confess away sin, and in that moment, you have more power and conviction than you've ever had in your life about that sin not happening. Each week when I'm preaching, I come up here, and in that first song, or right before the first song, I'm kind of clearing house in my heart and praying and asking God to forgive me. I'm walking through a spiritual breathing piece. And I'm just telling you, when I'm standing up here, my goal is simply this. God, I know that I have absolutely no business with Your word right now. But You do. And so right now, just get me out of the way. And may You be used. And I'm telling you, God revisits that time and time again as people come down and they're like, man, it's like You were speaking right to me. Dude, I don't know You. I wasn't speaking to you. But the Spirit is speaking to you. And God's banging on your door. And praise God for that. He chooses to work with us so much easier if He just didn't. Don't work through me. Just do the work, right? But He just chooses to work with us and through us and shaping us and changing us and filled in the moment. And God does amazing things with and through us as we give Him that chance. God's waiting for you to say, filled. It's commanded and I want it. Lord, I'm going after it for your glory. I want you and more of you all the time. I want to confess this like crazy. Let it, hand it over to you. God, blow me away with your glory. And that's it. Just stun me with your glory as I hand this over. Okay? And we're going to be talking more about next steps next week. And what about when I falter? And we'll talk about that when we get to the will. Okay? So I'm not going to deal with that now. So number three here. Steps to offering our brokenness before his glory. I just want to cover these real quickly. Internal information. You've got to ask yourself some questions. What sin am I wrestling? Where am I making it about me? If you don't know, you can probably ask one of your family members. I think they know. How often our own sin, I talked about it on Sunday with the chains, we swing those things around and hurt people with them. I'm telling you, it becomes obvious to those around us. And spend some time, do some personal inventory and see what you can come up with. Why is that so attractive to me? What's the payoff in that? Begin to look at some of that root stuff in your worship. Why that? Okay? Internal. External information. So what does the scripture say about that sin, that topic, that struggle? And I wrote this in there. How can I even flee this temptation, right? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that he has provided a way to escape. Period. Promise. Lord, what's my way to escape? Now, we'll talk more about it next week, but I always call it the airplane exit. You know how you get on an airplane and what's the first thing they say? The exits will be provided at the, right? And you kind of check out. You're not even listening anymore. You're like, yeah, yeah, front, middle, back. I get it, right? But exits, they're pointed out to you. Do you know the exits on your sin? Where is God providing it so you know how to get out? Or do you just keep struggling around in the middle of the sin and drop because you forget the exit plan? Lord, what's the exit plan on this so I can step past it? External information. And then the last, specific worship time. This is where it all comes together now. You ready? So we're going to expect the power and joy. Like, Lord, you promise it. You promise to be filled. You promise that if I behold your glory, you'll transform. You promise this. Lord, I'm claiming that promise right now. I'm expecting your power to be unleashed. I'm expecting a joy over time to come in this. It's not about my feelings, but Lord, I want you in charge. I'm expecting that. And then be filled. Spend that time inhaling and exhaling. Greatness of God and releasing him. Or releasing the sin. And then the last one, behold his glory in the sin area. Behold his glory in the sin area. For example, I'm wrestling with anger. Okay. Why? I don't know. I'm pretty impatient. And it bothers me when they, and how dare they when they, and okay, maybe we should take a look at God and his character with us, his mercy, or maybe his patience with me. Or maybe we should look at God's anger and what righteous anger looks like, right? Let's make sure we understand his love. Let's make sure we understand God overall and how that impinges upon me. And then, Lord, what am I saying about you if I get angry when you're trying to be patient? Right? Lord, help me understand what you're doing and behold your glory. Your sin will change when you begin to behold him, not more of you and your sin and your flesh. You behold you long enough to confess it away. Beholding him is your change. All right? Beholding him is your change. All right. Enough said. I went about 10 minutes longer than I wanted to there. Here's what we're going to do. We could go to group time. That is way too academic. We're going to some God time. That's what we're going to do. We might have group time at the end. I hope we can still do this. John, I'm going to ask her to jump on the keyboard here. And it's time for you and me to do a little getting real here. And John is just going to give us some music in the background so that we can kind of check out. Set them things away. Remember, singing is a piece. We're not going to do some singing tonight, but music can be a part of your worship piece with him. It's time for us to spend some time with our God. Inhaling first. So let's just bow our heads. I've written down here some inhale, exhale, and some verses. Keep these open here. Keep reading this, all right? It shows you what to walk through here in these steps, in the first exhaling. Let me just start with prayer and then I'm going to ask you to just go privately where you're at. Heavenly Father, we've learned all about you tonight and your Holy Spirit and your healing and your glory that transforms. And Lord, we're in awe that we broke the worship, but it's right worship of you that restores us. Lord, we're ready to hear from you. Thank you for your greatness in our lives. Thank you for your awesomeness in who you are. Just do me a favor, just first worship him real quickly on the fact that he's willing to even transform us and work with us. And then we'll get to exhaling here. Spend a moment with him in private worship. Exhaling. You breathed in deep. Now it's time to be releasing some out. You walked in with baggage. You know what you wrestle with. What needs to be released right here and right now, even if it breaks you. May your God hear from you. Back in deep. Just do it physically. Feel yourself. Inhale deeply first. Just remind yourself of what you're here for. His glory filling every aspect of you, as you breathe him in. 1 John 1:9, Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive us. Psalm 86:15, I know you are merciful and gracious. Luke 17, I know you immediately forgive, repeatedly forgive. Lord, you are so awesome and forgiving and restoring and all powerful. Worship him for that. As you thank him for who he is, he might be pressing in right now, asking you to release something. Words you used, attitudes you've had. Maybe it's just a raw lack of thankfulness, too much complaining going on, and it's eating you alive. What's God calling you to dump right now before him? Brings up really clean house now. I even want to do this. I do this every once in a while at home. Just breathe in as deep as you possibly can. And now exhale out as long as you possibly can. Just reminding yourself, that's what I'm doing here. I'm exhaling out everything I can get rid of, Lord. I want to be filled with you. None of me. All of you. Back inhaling again. Lord, you never change. I love Malachi 3:6. He says, I am the Lord your God. I change not. Worship him for his consistency, for his faithfulness, his steadfast love. Just do me a favor now. we've done this before in the services a couple times, but take your hands, just put them on your lap if you need to, but turn them up like you're receiving. It's like you're receiving. You'll be amazed how often your physical posture will truly represent what's going on mentally. And as you let your hands roll in or whatever, you've lost it. You're mentally, you're off thinking about something else. Just receive. This isn't emptying your mind. This is hearing from Him. Just be still before Him. Maybe He brings some contemplation of who He is, some word we hear from this where we're like, from His word, He doesn't change. He forgives. Whatever He brings back to you, just time. Receiving at this point. You could say to your God, if you had one word, what word? What adjective? What noun? What word? Father God, Lord, we know that in these moments it's so easy to be distracted, and I just pray right now You'd help us to realize there's no gimmick, there's no trick. It's behold Your glory and get self out of the way, and our worship on You unleashes change. Father, have Your way with our soul. May we be still before You. May we long to glorify You. We be filled continuously, repeatedly throughout the day, working to restore that up every time we knock it down, not cleansing at the end of a night or a day, but in the moments right where we're at. Lord, forgive us for going more than a minute without Your glory filling us. Lord, we long for You to have Your way. We long to respond to Your command to let You have Your way, to allow You to do Your work as we spiritually breathe, handing it over to You, stunned by Your glory. It's in Your mighty name I pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen. Thanks, babe. Listen, we walk through that a lot on Sunday mornings. And there's not a trick or a gimmick behind this. I need you to grasp this. Be filled. It's commanded. It's available to you. God does the work, and we're to continuously be going after it. Spend your time with Him, stunned with who He is. Stunned. Your time in the Word is to rock you with how great He is. An encounter with your God. And then you come to your knees expectant for the God of this universe who designed you for worship to meet you right there and change you for a lifetime. Worship. It is a key part of our transformation process, right?